The epistle appointed to be read for this, the 10th Sunday after Pentecost, is taken from the first epistle of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brethren, you know that when you were Gentiles, you went to dumb idols according as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God says anathema to Jesus. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of workings, but the same God, who works all things in all. Now the manifestation of the Spirit is given to everyone for profit. To one through the Spirit is given the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith in the same Spirit, to another the gift of healing in the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the distinguishing of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But all these things are the work of one and the same Spirit, who allots to everyone according as he will. And the Holy Gospel. Is taken from St. Luke. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, Jesus spoke this parable also to some who trusted in themselves as being just and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and began to pray thus within himself, O God, I thank thee that I am not like the rest of men, robbers, dishonest, adulterers, or even like this publican. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all that I possess. But the publican, standing afar off, would not so much as lift up his eyes to heaven, but kept striking his breast, saying, O God, be merciful, be merciful to me, the sinner. I tell you, this man went back to his home justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself shall be humble, and he who humbles himself shall be exalted. Thus for this Sunday's Holy Gospel. Again this morning, I urge you to study carefully, to read carefully the instruction on the bulletin, or in the bulletin. And I also particularly urge you to keep everything said in the bulletin in its proper context. Please do not take things out of context, because that's where misunderstandings occur and misrepresentations take place. There will be catechism class this morning. Next Sunday is also the Feast of the Assumption of the Blessed Mother, and if it were during the week, it would be a holy day of obligation. I think it would be very appropriate if we, in preparation of this enormous feast, would begin to prepare ourselves now with special prayer, and special acts of love and reparation in honor of the Blessed Mother. It's very serious that we do so. Very, very serious. I also put emphasis on the day that we hope to consecrate our altar, and that those who possibly can, I know that not everybody can. I know that this is conflicting, will conflict with other things that have to be done that day, but those that possibly can and who are so inclined should try to be here for that. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, amen. Two men went up to the temple to pray. As all of you know, this is one of my favorite gospel parables, but today I'm going to leave the Pharisee alone. I'm not going to talk about him. I may refer to him a time or two, but I'm not going to talk about him. The thing that I want to lay stress upon this morning is the publican. Not so much because of his being the publican as opposed to the being the Pharisee, but I want to, when I look at the publican, as I hope to look at him, I want to see, I want to hear what he has to say to me. Of course, we know that he said and asked Almighty God for his forgiveness for the many sins that he had committed. We know that. But we have to look at him as we ourselves endeavor to be children of God. The first thing that I do believe that we note in this man, it would have to be, there'd be no alternative, it's as clear as it can be, that without doubt, this man had the love of God in his heart. And because he had the love of God in his heart, and fully comprehending this love of God in his heart, that he knew how to work with it. I'm sure that he understood, though he may not have spoken of it or thought of it intellectually, but that he intuited it, that it was in his system somehow, that if there is no love in what I do, with reference to God in this case, if there is no love in my heart for Almighty God, then absolutely everything else, now look, I am underlining the word love. If there is no love of the proper kind as required by Almighty God in my heart, then absolutely everything I do, and here I'm not speaking of going out and doing this and going out and saying my prayers and going out and visiting and all that, making visits to the chapels and the rosary, etc., etc. I'm not speaking of that. But if there is no love as required by Almighty God in my heart, then everything I do has no worth as far as God goes. And that everything I do, therefore, becomes rather a matter of duty. And it becomes empty. St. Paul speaks of charity. And he gets rather pointed in that discussion of charity. We might get the impression when we use the word charity that it means going out and bringing food to the poor and visiting the sick and doing all those very wonderful things which we need to do anyway. But this is not exactly what St. Paul had in mind. We have to love God. With the same kind of love, the same quality of love that we experience when one is deeply in love with the beloved here on earth. And that absolutely everything, though this doesn't mean, please, again, let's not take things out of context. This doesn't mean that we have to live lives like they do in monasteries and convents. That's understood. That's taken for granted. That for these people in monasteries and convents, a lot more is expected of them because to them a lot more has been given. But for the rest of us, it simply means that our entire awareness, subconsciously, as well as consciously at times, but subconsciously ordinarily, that subconsciously everything we do is somehow sculptured because of love. If we do not love God, if we do not love the essence of God, if we do not love the presence of God, then why bother with believing? Why bother with hoping? Why bother with doing anything that we do? Our charity that we speak of is entirely to be that of the love that we demonstrate as far as God is concerned. We are wanting in that. We forget God. We go busily about our daily chores. And we forget God. We forget to do what God requires of us. This poor publican, when he knelt on the ground, prostrate, and he was so completely aware of his nothingness, that he could not really lift up his eyes to look up. Sometimes we wonder why our prayer is not heard. In this love that I speak of, I think sometimes when we pray, we do not really comprehend who it is that we are talking to. And while we are unaware, while we do not comprehend or are not mentally aware of just who it is we're talking to, at the very same time, we are unaware of just exactly who we are. We. Who am I? What am I? In an age, more than ever before, where my own personal importance is paramount, and that everything I look at, everything I read, everything I hear, focuses attention on my importance. I am somebody. I am a great. I am an important somebody. My beloved people, in this particular period of time, more than ever before, the one thing that we have to be constantly aware of, if what we say about our love for God means anything, the first thing, underline it a dozen times, the first thing that I have to keep in mind is my nothingness. I am nothing. I pause so that that can sink in. Oh yes, we move around in our little planet, which when you look at the universe, it is a speck lost amongst all the others. And when we move around in our little planet, we go around keeping figures and keeping records and moving around, doing everything to prove our personal importance, because I am somebody on this little planet of mine. But you see, when I put myself on the balance with Him who made me, I become nothing. And I'm looking at God, who is everything. His importance cannot, his power, his importance, his goodness, all of his qualities simply cannot be measured by me. And its importance is such that it cannot be measured by me. And when I try to measure it, it would be very much like me trying to stuff the ocean into a thimble. The immensity of God is beyond anything that I can possibly understand. And He is the one that I address when I pray. And when I come into the temple, as the publican did, when I come into the temple, I must be aware of my own personal nothingness, and I must be aware of the immensity of Him who I am addressing. And I have to fall on my knees, and I don't take me literally, please. I have to kiss the ground because of my nothingness and because of His immensity. But you see how reverse it has become today, that I am the one who is important, and He is the one that is measurable. And He is so measurable in today's man's mind that I can marginalize Him without any kind of fear. I can shove Him off outside of the margin and not worry about Him. The publican, as dumb and as stupid and as uneducated as he was, no doubt, he comprehended that which was important, his God. And he approached him with the kind of love, with the kind of complete abandonment. Here I am, Lord. I am completely at your mercy. Forgive me. Forgive me, Lord, for I am a sinner. I have hurt you. I have offended you, who are the supreme good, who are the supreme love. In our prayer, that is the way that we should approach God. Prepared prayers, don't again misunderstand me. Most of us, I do myself, have a little book that we keep our prepared prayers in. And some of us, our books are so bulgy with the prayer cards, countless prayer cards of every prayer imaginable. Prepared prayers are fine. But when you, my beloved people, or I, when you go up to your beloved, whoever your beloved may be, do you pick out a little card with writing upon it? Writing concerning the person that you are addressing. And do you, from that little piece of paper, read to your beloved what you think of your beloved? I therefore, my beloved one, I address you because I love you, because etc., etc., etc. You are the one of my center of my beloved. You must always know this. Don't you ever forget it. How sterile. How perfectly sterile And if someone would come to me and read off to me, Paul Parrott, the words of a prayer card that has been used by countless others in countless other situations and circumstances, I think I would start running. When you talk to God, when you talk to His mother, when you talk to His angels, when you talk to His saints, put down the prayer cards. Talk to Him. Talk to them as you would to your sister or your father or your mother or your child. And let the word come out of your mouth that is prompted only for the love that you have in your heart for Him whom you are addressing. And at such times, when you find it expedient to use prayer cards, I do. Let the words of that card come from your heart. By that, I do not mean again. You see, the whole thing has to be completely unartificial. If you read from that prayer card, "Oh my God, you know how much I love you." Instead of doing that, put a record on the record player and play that instead for all the significance and the meaning that it has. Use your prayer card, but let the word of that prayer card be for you something that comes from your heart, and say it as it really is coming from your heart. And you might be heard. The problem with us is we don't know how to pray. And especially for the manpower. I don't mind attacking manpower. Most men, unfortunately, I think, it is my opinion, have a problem with prayer. Because I think that a lot of men think that praying as you should has something effeminate about it. And that prayer is more the work of a woman than it is of a man. Beloved people, that isn't so. But beloved men, that isn't so. I dare say that the publican was a real man. And the realness of his manhood was manifested in the terrific amount of courage that that man had to fall on his knees and look at his God. And in a state of complete helplessness and a state of complete love, speak to Him as He spoke to him. There's nothing effeminate about that, is it? But today, we have a problem with that. And we simply don't want to do it. How many men, real men, do you see walking around with a rosary in their hands? What is effeminate about that? How many men do we see walking around with a prayer book in their hands? What is effeminate about that? How many men do we see? Today, you know, it used to be a custom, but I can see today why it might have changed. I'm not fussing about that. I remember the time when no one, man, woman, or child, ever crossed the front of the church without publicly making the sign of the cross. You don't see that anymore, for reasons probably that we all know, unfortunately, and sadly, and tragically. We have to love. We have to get on our knees, and we have to pray, address ourselves. I am full of things that I have to talk over with somebody. And why can't I talk my problems with Almighty God, who completely understands my problems, who gathers my problems, and who helps me in my problems? And I can trust him that he's not going to take what I have to say to him, rinse it out of context, distort it, report it, talk about it, or whatever. We know that when we put something in the hand of Almighty God, it is perfectly, perfectly safe. So as we look at the publican this morning, let us see these things in this man. And while we are looking at the quality of this man, and while we are trying to imitate the quality of this man in love and in charity, let us not forget to pray for the poor Pharisee who doesn't see it this way. Let us not judge the Pharisee. Let us not condemn the Pharisee. Let us not hate the Pharisee. But let us extend our love to him and pray to him that Almighty God will enter in. If we could but just comprehend the quality of love that our blessed Lord Jesus Christ had during those final hours of his life. For whom? But for you and for me. Isn't it interesting that we were full of this kind of love when it was fashionable for us less than a year ago to be all excited about the oncoming movie? And how much we talked about it, and how much of an impact it made upon everybody, and how much good it was going to do to the world, and how many men and women it was going to bring to their knees. We don't even hear about it anymore, do we? It's another item. It's gone down over the dam, and the floodwaters have carried it away into the mountains of forgetfulness. God must never be forgotten. You are his chosen ones. We hope to be his chosen ones. Let us give to God the things that are God's, and in the process, let us never forget the significance of our true nothingness, my beloved people.